Ziemba, a.k.a. Renee Klajic, is an El Paso-based musician and writer. She's released her most recent album, True Romantic, a collection of unabashed love songs on Sister Polygon Records in September of last year. She works as a reporter for El Paso Matters and is also an advocate for music industry reform. Most recently, it's her Bad Love music video, which has me the most excited. Here to talk about all of the above is Ziemba, a.k.a. Renee Klajic. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Yay! Thanks for having me. Hi.
I'm so excited. So I've seen your videos, but this one just like is amazing. Can we talk about the making and all of the creativity and costuming? And I mean, it's 100%. It's fantastic. Good job.
Aww, thank you so much. Well, we had a lot of fun making this video, and I think it shows. Like, there's a scene where I was really entertained by the idea of, like, literally mopping myself on the floor, because it was, like, kind of this metaphor for, like, trying to clean up my own emotional wreckage. But, like, the moment we were shooting it, and this person who I didn't know very well had to, like, hit me in the head with a wet mop.
You're like, died.
Yeah, the process of creating it was really fun, and we filmed it at a bunch of great, like, very special locations here in El Paso and also in Socorro. Yeah, I think that comes through in the video, or I hope it does.
No, it absolutely does.
Yeah, and I mean, in general, I like making music videos that don't take themselves too seriously. Like, I really love whimsy and being playful. And this song, of any song on my album, this song is, like, especially campy. Like, it's very much an over-the-top, like, doo-wop love song. So I just felt like we should go full in.
No, you did. It translates so beautifully. And then I also wanted to ask you about the costumes, because they're so specific to the piece and to the video. And I know you didn't go to Savers and put that together. It's very well thought out. Can you tell us about that piece of it too?
Thanks. Yeah, we worked with this designer. Her name is Maisie Broom, but she has a fashion label called My Fawn Y. I'm not actually sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. I'm sorry, Maisie, if I'm not. But she's based in New York, and she and I've been in touch for a while. She also has a radio show, and she's featured on music before. But she really went above and beyond just creating a lot of very over-the-top custom wardrobe items for this video. She's actually one of the only non-El Pasoans who was involved in it. Like, the whole crew was El Paso folks. But I was really excited to be able to feature her work, because I just love her designs. She does this, like, marble dye technique on her garments. And she had a series of shirts she would make that she called her mixed emotions shirts, where she would do the marble dye technique but make these, like, hugely exaggerated faces. So I have, like, an apron for the scene where I'm cleaning the emotional wreckage that has, like, a very despondent, sad heart face on it.
That's my favorite, I gotta say. That's that one.
I actually think Maisie might be auctioning that apron off for charity soon.
Ah, well, do let us know.
I'll definitely put it on social media. Overall, creating the video was really amazing. The crew, Stephanie Hinojosa and Daniel Fuentes, especially the director and the cinematographer, really just did such an amazing job. We shot that video in a really short amount of time, and all of us work full-time jobs. So it was like, we got off work Friday evening and then started shooting Friday night into the late night and then through the weekend.
Well, it translates. My hat's off to you.
Thank you.
I wanted to know your El Paso ties, because you quasi grew up here, but then I know there's a lot of New York City influence as well. So can you take us through your journey and your El Paso ties?
I mean, it's funny because whenever anyone asks me where I'm from, it's always like a novel for
like,
a response.
Well.
But I like to tell people that I'm like truly a borderlander, because I was born in Michigan about a mile from Canada. And then when I was 9, my dad met my stepmom, who's from Ciudad Juarez. And he and my stepmom moved down to El Paso. I think we moved here when I was 10, but it was because my parents had split up. I was going back and forth. So I started partly living in El Paso then and moved here full-time in high school. And since high school, I hadn't lived in El Paso, aside from when I was in grad school, I did my master's research here. So I spent a lot of time here doing field work for that. But I just moved back to El Paso shortly before COVID hit. So a really strange time to return to your hometown.
I bet. But enough time to kind of get yourself embedded into the music scene, because you've been creating music, and I see you you definitely work with local people, so it's not like you didn't have enough time.
Well, I think especially musically, it's been a little easier because I always played shows here, so mm-hmm. I already knew a fair number of people in El Paso's music scene, even though in other zones of the El Paso community, it felt a little more foreign. But it's also, like, it's been a strange time for musicians in general with COVID, so I feel like I'm still kind of finding my footing living here, but I'm excited for what the future holds, and it's been really interesting to be here as my strange hybrid self in, like, the music zone and working as a reporter at El Paso Matters.
So that's actually a beautiful segue for me. So what came first for you? Was it the music, or was it the writing, or are they somehow interwoven?
I think that I've always felt pulled in a lot of different directions just because I'm the sort of person who has pretty eclectic interests. And for a while, I felt really conflicted about that, like that I had to be on a path where I picked one thing.
That's not true.
Yeah. And I'm much happier now that I've abandoned that idea. Like, yeah. No, I feel very fulfilled and inspired by the work I do as a reporter. But I also, like, if I'm not playing music or singing, I'm miserable. Like, I'm not a useful contribution to humanity if I'm not singing. So I'm still working on finding that balance. Like, I think it's always tricky if you're trying to do a lot of things to do it in a way where, you know, you also eat 3 meals a day and sleep enough. But I'm glad to be able to do that. And I feel like I've been in that balancing act for a while now of, like, simultaneously writing and having research interests and interests that were very different from my musical interests, and then at the same time really prioritizing creativity and making art and sharing it because it's really fun.
I'm glad you're working on it. At least we get to be a part of your process, because it happens to be a very public process. So we either see your stories written in El Paso Matters, or we're seeing your music come out, or seeing you play shows. Believe it or not, we're watching. I don't know if that makes you feel better or worse.
I mean, I think that that's also a challenge for everybody who does stuff where you're, like, putting yourself out there on the world stage. Like, it's not easy. And I mean, to be perfectly honest, putting out the Bad Love music video, like, I'm very proud of it and I was excited to release it, but it's also really scary. And the process of kind of unleashing this thing that you put a lot of energy into out into the world, it's not always a good feeling because you don't want to require external validation, but at the same time, it's very nice.
Well, yeah, but there's also something about do things that scare you, right? And just kind of do them until they don't. So are you still scared, or is it the nerves, or because there's got to be some excitement to it, no?
I mean, I think that life is really not worth living if you're not willing to fail or willing to do things.
Yeah.
Like, I feel good about the video now that it's out, but it's honestly, like, most times that I play a show, right before the show, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. And I'm like, well, I wonder if I can get out of it. And then I play the show and I'm so glad I did.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that was great. Why did I not want to do this? But I do it every single time. I mean, it's just like, we're human.
Part of the process.
The hardest part is right before you dive, you know?
Yep, yep. And then once you're in it, it's too late.
Yeah, you're committed. You gotta do it.
It's on. I want to talk to you both about your research and about your work in advocacy for music industry reform. So I'll give it to you. Where do you want to start?
By research, do you mean like with El Paso Matters?
Well, no, you said you did your graduate research here. And I'm like, she was here for graduate school or research?
Oh,
what was she working on?
So I did my master's at University of Oregon, but I was researching basically, like, this was when the cartel violence had really skyrocketed in like 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. I was looking at how the hardening borderline and the increase of violence had really started to change what it meant to be a fronterizo. So I was talking to people who crossed the border on a regular basis, but who had no direct connection to, like, cartel stuff, about how their patterns of movement had changed. This was in a geography program. So it was like looking at maps and just thinking about literally the structure of people's lives, because There are many people in this community whose lives have been one where they were able to cross with relative ease for a lot of their lifetime. Like for my stepmom, for example, who grew up in Juarez, and then, you know, she moved to El Paso, but her whole family's in Juarez. I mean, my whole life, she's crossed multiple times a week. That's very normal for her and for lots of people. And of course, there are people who don't have the ability to cross for any number of reasons in terms of documentation or privilege or... But it's been a big transformation to our community, how much more difficult it's become to cross. And that time was a time when we were having the really long lines. I mean, it's obviously even more dramatic now with COVID and people from Mexico not being able to cross at all into El Paso. But anyways, that was the research that I did when I was working on my master's. And then I started a PhD program. Speaking of failures, I dropped out. It was great.
It wasn't the right time. Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad I got the master's, but I started this PhD program and I was like, you know what, this isn't for me. And I dropped out and then I started writing about border issues for Teen Vogue instead. And that's kind of how I got into journalism, because I was like, you know, I don't think my ultimate path is in academia. I really like writing in ways that it's accessible, like more immediately accessible to lots of people.
And then behold, El Paso Matters. I feel like you were one of the first reporters, if not the first.
Well, I was among the first full-time.
Yeah. Hired.
Yeah. So there were three of us who were hired at the same time, a little over a year ago. Yeah. It's been really cool to see our team grow. We're just moving into our in-person office and we keep adding new reporters doing really cool beats. We have a reporter who focuses on environmental issues. We just got another reporter who's reporting on gender and the status of women in El Paso. So all of that stuff is really inspiring and cool to see, like to be a part of a news organization from the ground up and witness its growth.
It's pretty fantastic. I mean, y'all are growing at crazy rates and there's a newsroom now. I got to tour your newsroom. I'm like,
oh, you did?
Wow, this is real. Yes.
You just decorated my desk. You'll have to come back.
Well, I'll come back and see the feng shui, see how everybody, when I visited, I think only one of the reporters had staked her claim and everybody else was settling in, but it looks really exciting.
I did the pots for my cacti. So I have some really funky clay pots now. I'm very proud of them. I don't paint very often.
I love it. Okay, so we didn't get to talk about your music industry reform work, but we'll get to it next time because there will be a next time. But more importantly, I think we need to talk about the upcoming show that you're playing so that we can invite people to, they don't have to witness the part where you have a nervous breakdown before, and then, you know, we get to see you perform. So let's invite people to that.
Yeah, ignore what I said about not wanting to play shows.
Right.
I always love it once I start playing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm playing my first post-pandemic concert on August 6th, and it's going to be such a special night. There's so many things happening at this event. So it's a gallery opening, like the official opening for Laura Turón's gallery, and she has a really amazing installation there. And then it's also the vinyl release party for my friend Villain's Kiss, that band. And then Toots is playing, which I love. Nicole, the frontwoman of Toots, her music is so beautiful and she's so talented. And she's actually sang with me in Ziemba performances before. So it's all connected. And David and I work together at Piedmont, David from Villain's Kiss.
I love it.
But I think also it's Laura's birthday that night.
It is.
The person with the gallery opening. So there's so many things to celebrate. But also so... part of why I made the Bad Love music video is to celebrate the fact that there's a repressing of my vinyl, because the vinyl for my album True Romantic has been sold out for the past 6 months. So this will be the first time that I'll have the vinyl available at the show if people want to get the vinyl and didn't have a chance to before it sold out. It'll be very sweet. It's also in a beautiful old historic Adobe Theater, which is where we filmed the Bad Love music video. So...
going full circle. That's on August 6th. That's Friday, August 6th, next week at Casa Podaca. Is that correct?
Correct. Get your tickets in advance because I think they may be limited.
I feel like you're right. And I keep seeing the tests and everything, and it's going to be beautiful. So thank you so much. Congratulations. I'm glad that you'll have some more vinyl for us, because something about seeing that video and making that connection now, it's like, I have to have it. So thank you for having more for us. Today, my guest has been Ziemba, a.k.a. Renee Klejcik. And you can see her play August 6th at Casa Apodaca at the opening of Laura Turon's art gallery. Renee, thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really been a pleasure.